We're not going to have any screen tonight, but go with me to Mark chapter 4. Mark chapter 4, beginning in verse 26 through 39. 26 through 29. We're looking at the parables of Jesus on Sunday night from a simple teaching outline of context, explanation, and also application. If I was going to preach through these, I would maybe come up with a little different outline. But this is a teaching outline. And I felt it was necessary as we go through the parables to really point out the spiritual truth that's in the parable along with some other applications. So remember, we're teaching through the parables, the context, explanation, and the... Somebody tell me the last one. Context, explanation, and what?
Application.
Okay, I mean, this is the 17th time I said this, you know. So, okay. And then also we could say, what is the setting, the point of the parable, and what does it all mean to us? So tonight we're looking at parable number 22, the parable of the growing seed. The parable of the growing seed. So let's stand in honor of God's word, and let's begin reading in Mark chapter 4, verse 26. And he said, so is the kingdom of God as if man should cast seed into the ground. And should sleep and rise night and day, and the seed should spring up and grow, he knoweth not how. For the earth bringeth forth fruit of herself, first the blade, then the ear, then after that the full corn in the ear. And when the fruit is brought forth, immediately it putteth forth the sickle, he putteth forth the sickle, because the harvest is come. The parable of the growing seed. Father, I pray you open this parable to us, then we might find your intended meaning in this text and make application in our lives. And we ask these things in the name of Jesus. Amen. You may be seated. Let's look, first of all, as we look at this, I want to ask you two questions. Are you sowing the word of God in your own heart during the week and on Sundays? Are you letting the word of God come into your heart to do its intended work? And number two, are you sowing the seed out there where the lost are? Out there in the world, in the marketplace, in your workplace, wherever you might be, are you sowing the seed in the heart of a lost person so that it might do its intended work? Well, let's look at the context, first of all. Up to this point, all of our studies and parables have been in the Gospel of Matthew. But tonight we're teaching the only parable that is found in the Gospel of Mark alone. The context or the setting of this parable seems to be that of Jesus' teaching in Matthew 13, where he talks about the parables of the kingdom, okay? And it's very comparable to the parable of the sower or the parable of the souls, whichever one you like to use, because I've used both. I used the parable of the sower when I emphasized the one that cast the seed, and I used the parable of the souls when I talk about the heart that the Word of God lands on. So it's very parallel to that. That's the context. Now the explanation is in verse 26 through verse 29. Notice what he said in verse 26. And he said, so is the kingdom of God, as if a man. So this is a parable, as if a man. So he's making a correlation here, analogy between the sower that goes out to sow the seed and the believer that goes out to sow the seed of the word of God, and that it might bring forth fruit. Only Mark records this parable, which complements the parable of the sower. But in the parable of the sower, it talks about the person casting the seed. Now here in this parable, it talks about what happens to the seed when it lands on good ground, good soil. You know, that's something we don't control. Our part is to cast the seed. God does the rest of the work in the good soul, not in the other three. Remember in the parable of the sower, there were only one soul, one heart that was productive. The other three were unproductive. They were non-productive. So we're talking about what God does when the seed is placed in the heart of good soul, somebody who is receptive to the gospel of Jesus Christ. So this parable describes how the word of God produces fruit and how the kingdom grows. Again, this seed is not identified in this parable as the word of God, but it is also in the sower. So we know what the seed is. Okay, you see that in chapter 4, verse 14 of Matthew. Now, let's begin to look closer at the explanation in verses 26 to 29 and note how When this seed fell on good fertile ground, how it began to grow and how it began to produce fruit. Verse 26 through 28, the first thing I'll call this is it is a mystery. The sowing of seed in the heart of a good soil is a mystery, how it begins to germinate and grow and bring forth fruit. Look at it again in verse 26. Well, verse 27. So he cast the seed out into the ground, and then he goes to sleep. He rises day and night. He don't have much to do with what happens once the seed is planted in the soil. But it says the seed should spring and grow, and he knoweth not how. I mean, it's a mystery, isn't it? I know that life is in seed and everything that God has created, but to actually know how you can plant a seed, well, everybody but us, every seed we put in the ground doesn't come up. But if you put the seed in the ground, give it a little water, and it's a mystery how in God's timing, right, it germinates, it opens up, and it becomes a flower or a vegetable, right? That's something it is a mystery. You remember in creation, God has placed the seed, the DNA, and everything is in that seed in a pine tree, whatever, that's going to reproduce other pine trees, right? And that's not something we don't have control over. All our business is to do is to cast the seed. But notice there also in verse 28, I'm looking for that phrase that says it groweth, he know not how. It grows by itself, okay? He doesn't know that. So it's a mystery, isn't it? And it's a mystery when we share the gospel in the heart of a person, and God does his work, and it brings forth fruit. And then other times you may cast a seed on some non-productive heart, and it doesn't do its work, right? And y'all can't miss this in the parable of the sower and this parable here of the growing seed. We're talking about the work of God and the good soul, okay? And that's what he's talking about, okay? But notice also verse 28, latter part of verse 28, it is gradual. Boy, we want everything to happen suddenly, don't we? We're instant generation, right? Popcorn. I can't even wait 3 minutes for the popcorn to get done, you know? We're an instant generation. And is popcorn fattening? Anybody know? It's not fattening, is it? All right. Okay, thank you. Look in verse 28. For the earth bringeth forth fruit of herself. First the blade, then the ear, and after that the full corn in the ear. Now, it's gradual. You know, it doesn't come up overnight, right, Miss Jean? If it comes up at all. Out there where we live, we don't have any bees that pollinate our garden, so therefore we just plant seed to give the grandkids something to do, and we know it ain't going to come up, right? So we don't have any bees like Jason and Amy do. But it's gradual. It doesn't come up instantly, right? It's gradual. And, you know, you've seen farmers. They plant the seed and they go out there. I don't know how often farmers go out and look. Y'all might know, but they drive their pickup truck to the field and they get out and walk amongst what they have planted. Machine, do you know? They go out to see if they got a rain, right? And things like that, but it's they keep inspecting their prompt. They go to bed, they sleep at night, do their work, but they have nothing to do with the seed doing its work. That's God's work, right? That's what we're trying to get across. This growth is gradual. It look what it says. It grows step by step. First the blade, then the ear, then the full corn in the ear. I looked that word up, Brother Ray. Corn. And it's the Greek word cetos, C-E-E-T-O-S. It could speak of wheat or grain. So they would go out there and they would cast their seed, but they had nothing to do with it coming up instantaneously. In the same way with us, we share the gospel and we think, well, they'll never believe, or it's not doing no work in their heart, but it's gradual, see? And one day, maybe eight times later, some other person shares the gospel with them, and it begins to bring forth fruit, right? And Paul said we all share in that. We're co-laborers with God. One Bible background commentary says every farmer would have agreed that God's providence, not the farmer's power, may grow the grain. Thus, pagan and Jewish, he says, farmers alike sought divine help for their crops. Okay? So we're not depending on ourselves when we share the gospel. We're depending on the Holy Spirit, right? Because I never saved anybody. If I did, they're going to hell. Only God can do that, right? So it's gradual, it's a mystery, but then the harvest will come, verse 29. But when the fruit is brought forth, immediately he putteth in the sickle because the harvest is come. See? You can't overweight. You can't, don't want to do it too early. I was told the other day, I learned some things about peanuts. You got to get them at the right time. If you don't, you're going to miss it. And so the farmer knows that. So he goes out when the harvest is ripe and he harvests his crops. In the same way, when in God's timing, when his work is done in the heart, it will bring forth, I call it fruition. It will come forth and bring forth fruit, and that person will be a believer. So the harvest will eventually come. That's why we don't get discouraged, because it's gradual, yes, but if it's on good soil, it will eventually bring forth a harvest, okay? The kingdom of God growing by the word of God being planted is similar to the growth observed in the sowing and reaping of the grain. Before we apply this parable in just a second here, I want to compare the growing seed with the parable of the sower. Just one comment right here. Again, it's Matthew's version Mark's version of Matthew 13 parables about the kingdom. In the Matthew 13, the parable of the sower speaks of the sower's responsibility to go out and cast seed, and some fell on good ground. You notice in that parable in Matthew 13, the sower did not select where he's going to cast the seed. He went out casting the seed. And when it landed on good soil, there was a response. There was growth. That's what the sower teaches, the responsibility of the sower to go out and cast seed. Now, the parable of the growing seed here takes it a little bit further and stresses the divine work of God within the word of God when it's planted in an unbeliever's heart. See? It's one is seen, the sower going out casting seed. One is unseen. You know? Like John 3 says, the Holy Spirit, we can hear the wind blow and we can see it blow, but we don't really know the depth of the wind that's blowing. In the same way with the Holy Spirit, we cast a seed, and then God, in an invisible way, begins to do his work in that heart, okay? So the seed has within itself the power to germinate and grow in good soil. I think I finally said that word right there. And yes, we must cast seed, but only God takes the seed cast on good soil and brings forth the growth and the harvest. Now, how can we apply this parable to us today? Well, we are laborers together with God. God has invited us to be on journey with him in the Great Commission. We are laborers together with God. You see that in 1 Corinthians. That is a deep, unfathomable truth right there. God has not only saved us, but has invited us in our part of building his church, right? We are co-laborers with God, and we must sow seed everywhere and depend on him. I run across men, you see them on TV and all this, they think they are more important than the seed. They think they're more important than the sower. I mean, they think they're actually doing the work of transformation in a dead heart. No, it doesn't happen. People say, well, he saved 500 last year in his church. No, he didn't save a soul, right? And it's the work of God in the heart. And so, but secondly, God cultivates and grows the seed. Now, the growth will be gradual if it's planted in good soil, but it will bring a harvest. And one-fourth in the parable of the sower, one-fourth of the seed cast land on good ground. Okay? So what does it tell us all immediately? You can expect failure when you're witnessing, right? And it's going to happen. But you don't determine where is a success and where is a failure. You just cast seed, showing little nuggets of the gospel wherever you go. You know, just casting seed. And then number three, obedience in sowing is pivotal. Obedience in sowing and patience by the sower is necessary. Well, I'm not a very patient person. If y'all don't know that already, I'm telling you. That's why I didn't go into the medical field. I wouldn't have any patience. Y'all get that in a minute, okay? Corny, isn't it? Okay, thank you. But we're talking about corn, okay, tonight. I said, well, Lord, let me beat them over the head. Let me drill a 5/8 hole drill bit in their head and stuck the gospel in their head, you know. Why can't they see it? Now, y'all may agree or disagree with me, but it's got to land on good soil, okay? And then God takes it. But obedience and sowing, that's where it starts. There'll be no reaping unless they're sowing, right? And then patience. Just like the farmer in this text, the parable, he went to bed, woke up, and went about his life. And all the time, God was doing his work with the seed in the ground. And then number four, we must depend on the means he has ordained to save the lost. And that is the word of God through the Spirit of God. We don't depend on human gimmicks, and we don't depend on human methods. We can't make the three non-productive souls become productive. That's God's work, right? In that regard. So gimmicks and human methods and techniques and advertising in your church, that will build a church, if you will. That'll build a crowd, but it may not necessarily build a church. I like what Brother Frank prayed in the men's prayer meeting this afternoon, you know? And he prayed a good prayer about that. I won't tell you exactly how it went, but it was a good prayer. We have gotten away in the church from depending on the Word of God and the Holy Spirit, right? We were at Subway this afternoon, and I saw a man come in with his family. He just got married, and he works at an establishment here in Thomasville, and I knew he went to a church here in Thomasville, and I asked him, I said, did Brother So-and-so have a good sermon today? He says, I don't know. I'm not there no more. I went to another church, you know. And maybe I shouldn't have said it, probably shouldn't have said it, but he didn't get offended by it. People around, I said, yeah, we were talking about that this morning, how all we do is exchange church members. Brother Ray, we could be an exchange club, couldn't we? Share a member, you know, or whatever. But we need to depend on the Word of God to do his work. Right? It still works. We don't need to manipulate anybody in coming to salvation, right? Like Morgan back there was the last time. I mean, Kinley was the last one we baptized. Her and her family and us, we waited till God began to do his work in her heart. We could have manipulated her into coming to Christ, okay? And when I was talking about Kinley in the baptismal pool, that made me think tonight about, you know, they captured one of those clowns that was trying to lure children into the woods. Y'all see that on the, y'all need to get an iPhone with a Fox News app. That'll help you a long way with that. But, you know, it just makes me sick. The things that people do to try to build their church, right? So are you sowing the seed of the Word of God in your heart? That's the first thing. During the week, during your Bible time, during Wednesday night, Sunday school, during the morning worship, the preaching on Sunday evening, are you allowing the Word of God to be implanted in your heart that it might do its work? And it, for us as believers, it's not going to be salvation, but it is going to be a change of behavior or belief in something that we've erred in, okay? Because there's room for improvement, right? So this is what this parable is about. We sow the seed, lands on good ground, God does his work that's invisible, and then it brings forth fruit, right? All heads bowed, all eyes closed. No invitation tonight. Father, thank you for your word tonight.